Hello and welcome. This is Pastor Terry, and I'd like to welcome you to my Bible study podcast. This daily podcast is a place where we take the teachings of Scripture seriously, but ourselves, not so much. Join us as we dive into the sacred word of the Bible, and each time we read, we pray, we change the world. Welcome to Pastor Terry's Bible Study Podcast.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. It is Thursday, February the 1st. What? Yes, it is. It is the first day of February. I had a little blackout. Like, really? Is it already February 1st? Actually, I thought thinking it was February 2nd, but no. February 1st, 2024, the fourth week of after Epiphany. So we'll have one more week in this Epiphany season, and then the week after that, we'll start Lent. Which, interesting enough, Lent is on Valentine's Day this year. That is the first day of Lent. That's Ash Wednesday. February 14th. So all them lovebirds gonna be going on dates with ashes on their foreheads. That'll make for a cute picture, though. You know, new nice Valentine picture. You know, just a little some ashes there in the middle, and with a little two top table. Cheese, smiling cheese. But we, actually, we're going to have like a come-and-go Ash Wednesday service this year, a little different than before. So it'll be two opportunities. So if you're in the area and you want looking for something for Ash Wednesday, this is still a few weeks away. But we'll have come-and-go prayer, communion, and ashes between 12:30 and 1:30 in the day, or you can come back that night between 5:30 and 6:30. Anyway, I don't know why I went on that tangent, but that just interesting this year, the way the calendar falls. Ash Wednesday and Valentine's Day, the same day, 2 weeks from today. Hey, just speaking of scheduling and like dates, I will be out next week. I am going to a conference. It's a Church of God roundtable on Sunday evening. So I'll be out from basically till Thursday, so I'll be completely out all next week. But we'll pick up the following week. So you could always catch up on the stuff you've missed. You know, if you just got to kind of have that morning time on, you know, then go back through all those past episodes. Maybe pick up a few that you haven't seen before or listened to. Catch up. But we'll jump back in the week of Ash Wednesday. That Monday. I don't know. That'd be the, so Wednesday's the 14th, 13th, 12th. It'll be February 12th. Yeah. All righty. Let's do it, y'all. Let's jump in. Thank you guys so much for being on today. Genesis chapter 23 is where we're going to start today. Let you know what we do. We read, we pray, we change the world. All right. What verses are we reading? 23, 1 through 20. It's the whole chapter. All right. Sarah lived to be 127 years old. She died at Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham went to mourn for Sarah and to weep over her. Then Abraham rose from beside his dead wife, and spoke to the Hittites. He said, "I am a foreigner and stranger among you. Sell me some property for a burial site here, so I can bury my dead." I share this passage a lot. When it's a common passage shared at funerals. You know, when someone loses someone, just showing the humanness and the normalcy of grief, and that it's normal to mourn and weep when we lose someone we love. And so here we see Abraham weeping and mourning bitterly, you know, for Sarah. Verse 5, the Hittites replied to Abraham, "Sir, listen to us. You are a mighty prince among us."
Wow.
"Bury your dead in the choicest of our tombs. None of us will refuse you, refuse his tomb for burying your dead." Quite a compliment for Abraham, right? He's gained quite a bit of respect among the Hittites, that they're willing to give him whatever he needs. "Then Abraham rose and bowed before the people of the land, the Hittites. He said to them, 'If you are willing to let me bury my dead, then listen to me and intercede with Ephron, son of Zohar, on my behalf. So he will sell me the cave of Machpelah, I don't know, which belongs to him and is at the end of the field of his field. Ask him to sell it to me for full price as a burial site among you.'" So he's taking care of all the preparations, right? This is very like sort of things you got to do. Like, you know, there's an emotional, spiritual grieving related to loss, but there's also some obviously very logistical things that you have to do. You have to, like, find a place of burial. And so here, you know, Abraham's going about, for lack of a better word, planning a funeral, a burial. "Ephron, the Hittite, was sitting among the people, and he replied to Abraham in the hearing of all the Hittites who had come to the gate of his city. 'No, my lord,' he said, 'listen to me. I give you the field, and I give you the cave that is in it. I give it to you in the presence of my people. Bury your dead. So Ephron just wants to give it to him. "Abraham bowed down before the people of the land, and he said to Ephron in their hearing, 'Listen to me, if you will. I will pay the price of the field. Accept it from me so I can bury my dead there.'" He doesn't want it for free. He wants to buy it. "Ephron answered Abraham, 'Listen to me, my lord. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. But what is that between you and me?" Like, it's worth this. But that's no comparison to the value of our relationship. So please just take it. Abraham agreed to Ephron's terms and weighed out for him the price he had named in the hearing of the Hittites, 400 shekels of silver, according to the weight current among the merchants. So Ephron's field in Machpelah near Mamre, both the field and the cave in it, and all the trees within the borders of the field, was deeded to Abraham as his property in the presence of all the Hittites who had come to the city of the gate, to the gate of the city. Afterward, Abraham buried his wife Sarah in the cave in the field in Machpelah near Mamre, which is Hebron, in the city, in the land of, I don't know why I'm making up words this morning, guys. I'm just putting words in there that aren't there. Oh, man. In the land of Canaan. So the field and the cave in it were deeded to Abraham by the Hittites as a burial site. It's interesting why all this is in here, right? It's almost like it's a record of a deed, right? To let people know for future generations that the field where Sarah is buried had been deeded to Abraham. It was rightfully his. Seems to be, you know, sort of the purpose for recording this in such detail. All right, let's jump over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. Welcome, everybody. Hebrews 11. Let's jump into, what are we? Where are we? 11, 32 through 12, 2. All right. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell you about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and floggings and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. I love this. The world was not worthy of them. Wow. You kind of get that. I mean, think of this theme. Like, that's kind of like, that feels like a nice word for Sarah, right? Like, Sarah was such a important person in the work of God in the world, and a part of God's promise to the world. She was just of such great value to Abraham and to others. But that's true of all the people of faith, right? The world was not worthy of them. They just stood out. They were remarkable, right? They just, the world really could not take into account how important they were, because they were citizens of another city, right? The heavenly city. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. So all these faithful saints of the past, they didn't get to see the promise that we saw. Though they didn't see it before we saw it. But now the faithful of God get to share it forever with us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Therefore, I love this verse, verse 1 and 2 of chapter 12. Therefore what? Because of all these great people of faith in chapter 11, all this great hall of faith, as it were, these people who faithfully live for God, these great witnesses, giants in the faith. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, the likes of which are listed in chapter 11, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. So the visual here is of a runner, right? The visual here is of, like, in an amphitheater. You got the crowd, and the crowd is filled with the faithful people of God. We are still running the race. Our race isn't over. How do you know your race isn't over? Because you're still here. Your race ain't over yet. And so let us run, and because the great cloud of witnesses are watching, They're rooting for us. They're cheering us on. They're pulling for us. They're inspiring us. Their stories inspire us. Their example inspires us. So in light of that inspiration and motivation, let's throw off everything that hinders, those things that hold us back, and the sin that so easily entangles, those petty things that of the sinful nature that hold us back, that keep us petty, that keep us not trusting God, that keep us not being everything we should be for God. Let's throw that stuff off and run with what? Perseverance. The race marked out for us. It's going to require some perseverance, some endurance. Verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus. That's the prize, man. We fix our eyes on Jesus. The pioneer and perfecter of our faith. He's our example. He's the one we're running. He's the one we're following. He's the one that's setting the pace, but he's also the one at the finish line. He's the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. He goes before, and he also goes alongside us. He goes ahead of us, but he's also alongside, making us better, perfecting our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. This was his race. This was the race he had to run, right? For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. What was the joy? The joy was that he was going to bring to perfection all these people of faith, including us and those who would come after. That was the joy of sharing this inheritance with all of the saints in the presence of God. For that joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and not lose heart. Amen. Pray that encourages you today, that as you consider Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, that will encourage you to not grow weary and to not lose heart, to be encouraged, to gain courage, to gain encouragement. God is good. All right, let's see what John chapter 6 has to say. John 6, 60 through 71. Welcome, everybody. Thank you guys for spending some time in the Word of God today. Great to have you. John 60 through the end of the chapter, 71. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching." Remember, this is the teaching about eat my body and drink my blood, you know, a reference to having faith in him and accepting him. And they were like, they were saying what we say, right? Like, this is some hard teaching, man. It's crazy. What are we, who can accept it? And this is many of his disciples. These aren't like, this isn't just the crowd. This is the disciples saying, "Jesus, this is some hard teaching." Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you?" And again, Jesus is like going to ratchet it up a little bit. Rather than dial it back, he's going to ratchet it up. "Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The world is not worthy of him. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life." Man, consider that. That the words that Jesus speaks to us are full of Spirit, of the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. So Jesus is like, I'm right here in front of you. And the very words I'm speaking to you are full of the Holy Spirit in life. And yet there's still some of you who aren't believing. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them. So it is the Father that seeks and saves. It's the Father who kind of draws. No one can come to the Son unless the Father draw them, right? There's a work of the Spirit that draws us to Jesus. From this time, many of his disciples turned back. They grew weary. They gave up. No longer followed him. You think of, put that in the image of what we just read in Hebrews chapter 11, this great cloud of witnesses watching, and then you see runners who actually stop running and turn back. And they're like, no, it's worth it. Don't turn back. Keep running. Keep following Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Don't turn back. Don't do it. Keep going. From this time on, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Watch Jesus, man. He continues to ratchet it up. So he turns to the 12 that are still there. You don't want to leave too, do you? Whoa. And I love Simon Peter's answer. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. Wow. Where shall we go, Lord? I know it's hard. There's parts I don't understand. There's times when it gets frustrating. There's times when there are pieces of the plan that are missing, and I don't understand what you're doing and what it's about. But God, where can we go? You alone hold the keys to eternal life. You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. Then Jesus replied, Have I not chosen you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil. He meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, who, though one of the 12, was later to betray him. Well, there's very obvious theme in today's reading, I think, with just completing the race of faith. Sarah completed her race of faith and was laid to rest. In Hebrews, there's this great celebration of the cloud of witnesses that have finished their race, but are now cheering on us in our race as we follow Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And here we see Jesus in his ministry. He's teaching truth. People who had been spectators now have encountered Jesus presenting hard truth and things that were difficult to accept. And instead of continuing on in their race, they turn back. But Peter speaks for those of us who've tasted and experienced Jesus. It's like, Jesus, even if things get hard, the truth is we believe and know that you have eternal, your words have eternal life. So we won't turn back. I won't turn back. Come on now. How many of y'all? That's your testimony. I won't turn back. I've tasted too much. I've seen too much. I've experienced too much. I'm not turning back. Though none, how the old worships, hymn says, though none go with me, still I will follow. Let that be your encouragement today. Though none go with me, I will follow. No, though no one else in my family follows Jesus, I'll follow. Though no one else in my workplace follows Jesus, yet I will follow. No turning back. It's not going to happen. Because you, Lord, we have come to know. We believe it and we know it. That you have the words of eternal life. That you are the Holy One of God. Praise to his name. Yeah. Let's pray, you guys. Lord, thank you so much for your holy word. Thank you for the privilege of running this race with you. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. That you go before us, but you also run right beside us. And so, Lord, for those of us that are running today and are tired, I pray that you would bring strength and encouragement and endurance and perseverance to their hearts. And Lord, we say to the depths of our being, though none go with me, I will follow. Because I believe, Lord, you have the words of eternal life. That you, Lord, are the Holy One of God. Help us, Lord, to point others towards that. Help us to point other people to you. To the power of your word, to the power of your example. Lord, help us to point people to you. Lord, thank you so much for my friends today. Pray you'd bless them and encourage them. May you just shine your face upon them today. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, my friends. Thank you guys so much for being on. If you haven't yet, be sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel. That way you'll get notifications whenever we go live, whenever we have new episodes. Reminder again that next week I will be out, so there won't be any new podcasts next week, but we'll be back on the 12th of February as we pick up that first week of Lent. Thank you for liking, subscribing, sharing, hitting that like button before you leave. Really appreciate that. You guys have a fantastic day and have a great weekend. And we'll be back together in about a little over a week. So love you guys so much. Have a fantastic day. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Thank you for joining me on today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. If this episode has been an encouragement to you, take a minute to subscribe or comment or share it with your friends. You can find me, Pastor Terry, and Bayside Church on all social media platforms. You can find Bayside at Bayside Church SH. Until next time, remember, God's word is true. Everything else is merely commentary. God bless you. We'll see you next time.